The Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? Unlike a car with its user's manual, we are born without instructions how to live. We experience life vicissitudes without a so-called user's manual. The Gita has been described as such a guide. These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda, which he has been delivering for more than 25 years. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Okay, we are discussing Chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga. In the verse 7, 8, and 9, we have seen that once the yogi becomes established in yoga, what will be his fulfillment? What will be his attitude? And we have seen that the one who is established in yoga, he will be equipoised towards any changes in the outer world, which is Sita Ushna. In other words, the world will keep changing around him, circumstances will keep changing, but he remains steady. His inner peace is not disturbed by what's happening outside. He also becomes steady in his mental zone. You know, Sita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukha. In the mental zone, whether it is unhappy occasion or a happy occasion, he remains peaceful. His inner peace cannot be disturbed by any of these occurrings which we see, whether either in the outer world or in the inner world, which is the mental zone. Tatha mana apamana yoho. At the intellectual level, whether the owner or disowner, but his inner peace is not affected. That is the fulfillment of a yogi. Yoga rudaha, we heard the word yoga rudaha. Once a person is established in yoga, that his inner peace cannot be disturbed by anything which is outside. He also sees that everything in this world outside has no specific value for his inner peace or the happiness. So he said, sama asta lostra asma kanchanaha. Whether it is the lump of clay, iron, or gold, that has no capacity to give me happiness. I attach my value to them depending on my utilitarian relationship which I establish. But I clearly understand that they don't have any more value from one to another in giving me happiness or peace of mind. So he becomes equipoised even in his relationship to the world of objects outside, you know. And then we say that he becomes equal to in all his relationship. The surhan mitraha arihi, you know, udasina madhyastha dveshi bandhusu. No matter whatever his relationship with the world of beings here, he remains equipoised. Does not mean that he does not relate to people in a different way, but the core of his being is same to all. He sees that all-pervading reality in all of them, the good, bad, or ugly. He realizes that people are manifesting the qualities of their equipment and not the quality of their self. A bad person is not bad at his core of his being. He's bad at his mental zone, his physical zone, or whatever. So he remains constantly equipoised and not disturbed by any of this outer occurring. That's the fulfillment of a yogi. Once a person establishes in his yoga, nothing can shake his peace in his self. So the next three verses, which we will see, which is 10, 11, 12, are more prescriptive. We have seen the end result, actually. We know that we are not there yet. How do we get there? We have seen in the beginning, it says, for the yoga rudaha karma karanam uchyate, to do these selfless actions. There is one method prescribed in all scriptures, all religions, that the only way we can purify our mind and intellect, our internal instrument, you know, is by doing selfless activities outside. Activities we must do because that's the nature of life. But right now all our activities are selfish, in a sense, are what is there in for me. If it is not more anything for me, why should I even waste my time? Changing their attitude to selfless activities, even though I may not have anything to gain out of that, but it needs to be done and therefore I'm doing it. That's the attitude. So that will purify your mind and intellect, the internal instrument. You know, the hardware, the computer, the box of a computer which you send, where is your computer? That's the computer. But what's inside the operating system is what makes the computer what it is. So this is our outer equipment, which everybody can see, but that's nail. What is the operating system is the mind and intellect. It is more important for that operating system to be integrated and functioning at the optimum level, you know. It reminds me, I bought a harmonium very first time a few years ago, 10, 15 years ago in India. And Meena's uncle was a musician. So I asked him, I need to buy a harmonium. So I'll take you to some harmonium shops, you know. So we went to the harmonium shop and we saw some harmonium. Me being an architect, I didn't like some of the detailing of the box, you know. Not the stain I didn't like, and I didn't like the way some of the details. And I said, I think it's good, but let me look at a couple of more. And then I go to Surat. I ask my brother and say, do you know any harmonium shops? He says, oh, yeah, I'll take you there. And he has no knowledge of music. All he knows is how to listen to radio. But he takes me to the harmonium shop, and I saw one harmonium. Perfect. The stain exactly the which I like. All the detailings are so nicely done. And I said, that's the one I want. I bought the harmonium, brought Baroda to show it to Meena's uncle and said, I bought the harmonium already, we don't need to go. Oh, is that so? That's fine, let me see. He looks at it and says, Neil, it looks good. But all the reeds inside are all messed up, you know. None of them are in tune, you know. So harmonium looks good, but it's not going to work well for you. Because the internal arrangement is more important in harmonium than outside box. Same is with the computer and same is with ourselves. So the whole goal, Bhagwan says, is to fine-tune your internal instrument. One we say is the selfless activity. What more can I do while I'm also doing the selfless activity is the prescriptive verses coming in Bhagavad Gita says meditation. Meditation is not the goal of life. It's the process through which we can achieve what we are trying to achieve. So he said, yogi yujjita satatam atmanam rahasi sthitaha ekaki yata chittatma nirasihi aparigraha. So the first thing, you considering yourself an yogi, trying to achieve that state of mind which is equipoised, which yourself is not disturbed by any of that. To achieve that, you must constantly strive to do what? Constantly keep the mind steady, you know. Remaining in the solitude, yogi yujjita satatam atmanam, constantly controlling himself, rahasi sthitaha, staying in solitude, does not mean you run away from life, but remain with yourself in any situation you realize that all this happening in this relationship, the noise outside of this world is a temporary and a constantly changing situation. I remain focused on myself. So rahasi sthitaha, staying in the solitude. Ekaki, alone. Yata chitta atma, controlling the chitta in the self, you know. Nirashihe, having no hope. This is where we all have problems. So how can you live without any hope, you know? And nirashi means no grand plans of what I want to get out of my actions. I'm working in this world, but I'll be satisfied with whatever the results come out of it. So no, you know, grand plan. So no hope, you know, nirashi, aparigraha, you know, and no greed. Parigraha, I want to get everything that I can, you know. Aparigraha, I have no greed. Whatever comes to me by its own means, which I deserve, is acceptable. So for a yogi, he has to constantly strive to do that. You cannot say, I'm now established in yoga, I'm done. Or now I learned yoga over the weekends and I'm done. You know, constantly striving to controlling your mind, staying in solitude, alone, yata chittatma, nirashin aparigraha. That's the goal of a yogi, to constantly strive. That's the exercise. That's the first prescriptive verse what a yogi must do. Now next obviously comes is a clear, you know, instruction on how to do meditation, because we hear the word meditation all the time. We're going to do meditation. A lot of people, obviously, I've been in my mission for a long time, and people come and say, Neil, do you have any recommendation, any good book on meditation? And I say, I'll tell you, the best book is Bhagavad Gita. Why would you learn meditation from any lesser guru than Krishna himself, you know? When Swami Chinmayananda, I don't know, why would I go and learn, you know, Bhagavad Gita from anybody from Swami Chinmayananda? So when Bhagavad Krishna himself is available to give you how to do meditation, why should I look for any other book? Here comes a very clear instruction about how to do meditation. So first is, as we have seen, Shuchau deshe pratistapya sthiram asanam atmanaha, for you, create a place of your own for meditation. Because it works, we all know. Every week you come here, most people will sit exactly where they sit normally, you know. Craig will be always in this chair, I'll be always here. And you feel uncomfortable, you change your place. You don't feel you're in the same class, you know. So it's the first, you make a relationship with yourself on your asana. This is my place. You know, so Suchau deshe, in a clean place, pratistapya, establish your own, you know. Sthiram asanam, that is steady, something which I can rely on. It's not wobbly, you know, it's not so. Established your own place to meditate in a clean place which is reliable. Sthiram asanam, you know. Na ati uchritam, not too high. If you are sitting too high, now when you close your eyes, you're aware that I'm sitting a little too high, and if something goes wrong, I may fall. So na ati uchritam, na ati nicham, not too low. Chaila jina kushottaram, layers of the grass, kusha grass, the deer skin or whatever, the animal skin, and the clothes. Now obviously somebody will say, well, if you wait for kusha grass to be available at Bhavani store, we may have a problem. What it is, it's a specification. The instruction is so detailed that it even gives you the specification for your seat. When you hire me as an architect, what do you expect? I said, Neil, you give me the specification, how the floor would be. I said, okay, no problem. We write it down. compact the ground, put 4 inches of gravel, then pour 4 inches of concrete with wire mesh in it, and then put the padding for the carpet, and then put carpet on it. Now you can come and sit there, and it will be comfortable. We give you the specification, who know what you need for your comfort as architects. Bhagavan said for you to meditate without any physical distraction, make sure your seat has an appropriate quality. So make yourself a seat which is not only not too high and not too low, steady but comfortable. And that basically, now obviously we can read a lot into this, but all it says is if I make a space, and we have a lot of discussion on why kusa grass and why the deer skin or animal skin, electrical conductivity in skin, all that really means is it's the most conducive way you can do meditation is to find a seat which does not distract you from what you are trying to do, which is to focus your mind. Once you did that, once you sat down, he said, tatra ekagram manah krutva. So, okay, I sat down, now what do I do? This is a question I probably have heard about 1,000 times. So what do I do in meditation, Neil? How do I? Very simple. Focus your mind. So, tatra ekagram manah krutva. Yata chitta indriya kriyaha. First thing you have to do is, say, focus your mind. But how do I focus my mind? By controlling the chitta. And we have seen in that software which we have, which we call it internal instrument or operating system we have actually, not a software, operating system, which is made up of 4 entities. Chitta, mana, buddhi, and ahankar. That's our operating system. There is an entity which has a function to think. Chintan kartru iti chittam. That is constantly, its goal is to constantly think. And then there are thoughts which falls into the category of mind because they are vacillating. Then there are thoughts which falls into the category of intellect because they are decisive. And so this is it. Somebody says, what is it, Neil, today? Is Sunday or Saturday? And I know that when, because I'm in a class, it's Sunday. That's intellect telling me, because I'm decisive, today is Sunday. That's intellect. It's still a thought. But then I say, who is telling that today is Sunday? Me. That ahankar. This 4 aspects of thinking entity divides that entity into different modes, but it's still a 1 entity called chitta. And its very function is to think. And in meditation, the very goal is to stop that, to make it inactive. So he says, yata chitta, controlling the activities of the chitta. So don't let it think. Indriya kriyaha, and the senses. Senses are constantly trying to receive the information from outside. Is it too cold? Is it too hot? You know, is it too loud or is it just right? You know, is too noisy, door clicks, or somebody must be coming, you know. That's the function of the senses. The senses are receiving the information from outside, and chitta is trying to constantly deciphering and say, what's happening here? You know, door click, what does that mean, Neil? Well, that means somebody must be at the door. Who could that be? The guy must be late, you know. That you have to control during meditation. So I said, yata chitta indriya kriyaha. First thing you do is try to focus your mind, but doing so you can only do if you control the functioning of the chitta and senses. No more information gathering from outside and no more thinking about it. Upavishya asane, yujya, udyoga, atma vishuddhaye. sitting on that seat of meditation, you know, practice this yoga of meditation for what? Atma Vishuddhaye. Our goal must be very clear when we take any activity. Goal of meditation is not to realize yourself. Goal of meditation is not to have the darshan of Bhagwan, you know. Goal of meditation is not to have any extra sensory perception, you know, or any vision which I never had before, you know. Goal of meditation is pure and simple, is to purify your internal instrument, the mind and intellect. And as we have seen over and over and over again, all the scriptures tells you to do only one thing and one thing alone. Atma karana siddhi, antaha karana siddhi. All we can do as human beings is to purify our instrument. Once the instrument is purified to a level which it needs to be, the shine of the Lord's divinity will shine through by itself. When I stand in front of a mirror, all I have to do is make sure that the mirror is clean. Then my reflection will shine through. So to see my reflection in a mirror, the only goal is to keep the mirror clean. The same way is it to see the Lord in yourself. The only responsibility I have is to keep my internal instrument clean enough so I'll see His reflection in me.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhave. Om Shantihi Shantihi Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.